So you're listening to Spotlight on Art with John Costa and Rob Watson. Rob, how are you this week?
As ever, I'm very well, thank you, John.
You've not brought the weather with you today.
I don't know, it's not too bad. It's warm. I came out and didn't realise how warm it was, so I'm a bit clammy at the moment.
Oh, you've overlayered.
The weather is clammy.
Yeah, I love it. Love it when people overlayer. Yeah, okay. So I cycle in, so it's not too bad. If it gets too warm, I can just leave it all in the bike. I do miss an office in town, that's for sure. So this week, we've got two guests. We normally have one person at a time, so that Rob and I can gang up on them. But we've got two people opposite us now for combative ping pong on the Spotlight on Art. And I've got Dean Williams, Dean the Art Wizard. How are you, Dean?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, good. Cool. Yeah.
We were trying to work it out in the lift that we've known each other about 16 years, 17 years maybe?
Must be. Yeah, long and wild. Yeah,
man and boy, we've known each other. Yeah, I was about 25 then, so that's good. And he's brought along Lisa J. Edwards. Lisa, how are you?
I'm okay, thank you.
Good, thank you very much for coming in and talking to us today. We're really excited to talk to you about, you know, where you started, your own personal inspirations. And then what we'll do is we'll get on to talking about your Adventures of the Garden Superheroes, your new book. Interesting to see what kind of feedback you've had and where the ideas came from. So let's kick off with Dean. Dean, when was the first time you can remember someone supporting you doing something creative? Would it be a relative or a neighbour or a teacher?
I'd probably say way back in, God, I was 29 and I'm now 55. In a way, it was myself. I know it sounds weird, but I hadn't done any drawing for nearly 13 years and I knew it was my passion, but I was doing an engineering job, what I didn't enjoy. And so I had a go at doing some drawing. I thought, actually, I'm not bad at this. And got myself on an A-level fine art course. Then I ended up leaving my full-time job for 13 years. And then I did a... I'm just trying to think what it was called.
Master degree?
No, it was before a master's. I can't remember the name of it.
So you took yourself off to do that because you just thought, actually, I need to do something that I'd always wanted to do, but kind of work had got in the way?
Yeah. So I ended up going to university for 5 years. And eventually I did a master's in art and design. And then was it 2025 I finished? And now I've been a self-employed artist designer since then on.
So really, that's quite an inspiring story, really, because you've turned around and said, well, it's not about going straight from A-levels into uni. These are the kind of people that Rob and I used to deal with when we worked at DMU on the media side. You've had a career, really. I mean, sort of 13, 14 years working, and then you've decided actually education's the right thing for you and taken yourself off on this journey and combined it with something. Is it the right decision that you've made on reflection?
Without a doubt, it's the best thing, best decision I've ever made in my life. And, you know, I'd always inspire anybody to do the same thing. If they really want to go for something, go for it. You never know what's in front of you.
Yeah. And about you, Lisa, what was the first time anyone said anything to you?
My journey is completely different to Dean's. I started when I was a child, painting, drawing. It's always been there. When I grew up and had children, things got in the way. But I got quite seriously ill a few years ago, 2011, and I used art as a therapy, really. And that's how I like to promote it where I work, because it helps with the children we work with.
So that story's come out almost similar, really, because yours has been sort of dead-end job, not particularly enjoying what you do, and yours has been an illness. And I've literally just spoke to someone downstairs, a photographer who's going through a period of sort of medical treatment as well, without going into any detail. And he's very much about like, well, I'm just going to get on with it. Yes. And I'm going to carry on living. I'm being positive about it and stuff. And it sounds really interesting as well. I mean, from your perspective, do you like... when you say to someone, oh, you should try that, oh, you're quite good at that, do you find that, you know, being supportive to other people just comes naturally to you because of those journeys that you've both been on?
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, we both work at a school in Hinckley called Unique Learning, And I also work at Moeka Playground. And Moeka Playground, I've been there over 10 years and Unique Learning over 6 years, maybe even longer. And the different types of students. But we always try and push them in the right direction if we see that talent. Yeah, yeah.
You're listening to Spotlight on Art with John Costa and Rob Watson. So where did you guys meet? I'm going to ask Lisa first. Yeah, she's more likely to tell me the truth than anything.
Not in the pub. Yeah. Basically, I came to work at Unique Learning because I've got autistic sons and I've worked with autism and neurodiverse children for a long time. And I came to work and developed an art room from a little table with a few pens on to a complete classroom now, which we are outgrowing, which is a good thing.
So have you made it into like an immersive space as well? Yeah. Starting to think about what's on the wall and all that sort of stuff, rather than just calling it art room. It's more of an immersive space.
Yeah, yeah. It's more, you know, therapy. We chat.
So tell me, what's a normal day?
A normal day is, I've got a chaise long. I'm not sure how to pronounce it.
It sounds perfect. I think Rob and I could do a podcast from there.
Obviously, we work with very difficult children that have had a lot of trauma and all sorts of things. So they come in, they have a cup of tea, get things off the chest, and then they move on to, you know, different areas of the school. I'll have my students, Dean will have his students. Sometimes me and Dean work together because we're next door to each other and what we do crosses over.
And I guess also, I always said there was a normal day, and really I guess there's no such thing as a normal day. You shouldn't use the normal word for anything really, but it's more about them coming in and just finding their way in a very kind of structured way that kind of allows them to do what they want to do, but they're making some progress and they're learning and they're having fun. And
yeah, I mean, the children we have, we've got an academic side, and perhaps the ones we have are not ready to engage in that yet. So we kind of build relationships through art, design, and that sort of thing. And then as soon as they get more confident, they can move over and perhaps engage with maths and English.
It's interesting. I've got some friends that run Confident Communities, Tina and Rena, and they did a talk actually here at the LCB depot. And I remember they put up this whole list of different things that come under neurodiversity on one wall. And then on the other wall, there was a sign that just said normal. And I remember standing there looking at all of these things about all the people that I know and have come across over the years throughout my life. And what I realised is everybody was on that wall and there was no such thing as normal. It's actually, we need to look at it a slightly different way, isn't it? We're all different and we're all kind of unique in our own way. We might share some traits. Yes. And so I sometimes think that, you know, being more positive about neurodiversity, you know, and what it's about. So your sons, how old are they now?
I've got one 33. He's got quite a few issues. He's got moderate learning difficulties, dyspraxia, autism and ADHD.
And does working in this kind of environment help you to understand maybe things that you've done well or not so well in the past, and you can pass that on? Yeah.
Definitely, because obviously he was my first child. I'd never even really heard of autism, you know, but I've learned a lot along the way and I want to share that with other people.
So Dean, when I first came across you, I think it was at the independent arts place Fabrica down on Humberston Gate. I think it's like a homeless organisation now, Fabrica, the Independent Arts Centre, that was it, IAC. I think that's where I first, going back to a conversation we had the other week, Rob, that's where I first met Dan and Johnny from Dust Till Dawn, when they were down there sitting there and talking on the sofa. Didn't you do a big knife project?
The project, what I did with that Fabrica at the time, it was a horse what I'd made, and it was about 11 foot tall, and it was made out of roughly about 5,000 CDs.
That was it? The CD horse? Yeah. Yes, that was it.
Yeah.
Because I remember at the time there was a lot of thing around that sort of knife.
Yeah.
display, wasn't there, that they'd made? I can't remember what the character was.
The Knife Angel.
The Knife Angel. Yeah. Thank you very much, Lisa. Exactly what it was.
Yeah.
And I remember you did this CD horse. That's right, yeah. I've probably got photos in the Citizen's Eye archive of that somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. I do remember it got quite a lot of coverage. Being an artist, and I sometimes test yourself, and I wanted to see how big I could make something, and that was a feat just to even make it in that size. All the problems what came with it afterwards, oh my God.
Storage and stuff.
Well, yeah, it was actually working out where it was going to go in the first place. It ended up going to a place in Bristol, Horse Sanctuary. Went in there for a bit. And whether it's still there now, it's in a school in Hinckley somewhere. God knows what's happened to it now. But I've made lots of sculptures over the years.
If anyone knows where the CD horse is, please get in touch with us on the podcast. So I want to bring us now on to the project that you've been doing called Adventures of the Garden Superheroes. So where did this idea come from, Dean?
So there's a lot of history to this. So
I'm in a lift and I'm going up three floors and you've got 30 seconds to tell me. Where did it come from?
It came from an idea I had way back in 2025, my master's degree. And it weren't until last year when I started making some garden markers, and I started putting superheroes on the top of the markers. And it was to help kids grow plants. And I thought, we need more than just a marker. It needs to have like a real message here. And that's when I told Lisa about what happened all them years ago. We got together and worked out, actually, we can try and create a story out of this.
So is it about bringing this story to life and then being able to, I guess, road test it as well on some of the young people that you work with?
Yeah, one part of it is I'd call it my dream. I had the idea all them years ago, and I'm actually feel like it's actually happening as I was speaking. There's still lots to put in place, but it's certainly getting the right interest now.
So, Lisa, what's your creative input on this?
I've encouraged Dean because I know he suffers with, if he doesn't mind me saying, he's worrying now what I'm going to say, dyslexia and dyscalculia, I think that's how you pronounce it. So putting things down on paper is very difficult for him. And I love to create. I've just got this drive to create. You know, I've tried art, I've tried selling art. There's not much, it's like bashing your head against a brick wall. And I want to, I don't know, leave something behind and pass things on to others. So
Dean, when we first met in the early days, you know, that when I'm talking about then was when I first started doing Citizen's Eye, and Rob kind of got to know each other as well. You know, we're talking about the early days of social media. So everyone like Facebook and YouTube, you know, Instagram never existed, nor did TikTok and stuff. And you're embracing TikTok now and using that. So does things like technology help you as Dean the Art Wizard and having a new project like this? Do you think it's a game changer for artists?
I'd like to think so. I'm talking to PR companies regarding what we're working on now, and obviously I want to listen to see what they have to say before we do too much. But I certainly think TikTok certainly could make a big difference, because you've got to gain an audience with what you're doing. You've got to gain traction and people to understand that it's not something what we just want to create as a book, that we both want to leave a legacy behind with us. And we're hoping to do at least 12 books and other things what I do. I work with Bad Manners and I do the merchandise for them. And one of the things I'd like to do with this is do some sort of story sack, educating children. We're pretty sure it's aimed at 4 to 6 year olds now. That's just through the research we've had so far.
So you've got this whole kind of narrative story arc of 12 books, but is that the two characters that I can see in front of me here, or are we talking like adding in extra characters, kind of listening to what your audience is saying to you and feeding back?
Yeah, so the obviously people can't see the book in front of us, but the book originally, the one in the middle, is a Crest superhero. And I did some research with the kids at the Moeka playground, and to be honest, not hardly any of them knew what Crest was. And I thought, well...
See, they're the wrong age demographic. You get to Rob and I, we've grown Crest at primary school. You know?
Yeah. So I thought, well, it's maybe not a good idea starting with Crest. So we decided to start with Carrots, the Carrot superhero. And the whole idea is that it's hero fruits and vegetables versus junk food characters, or you could call it sugary and fatty foods. There is a program on CBBC what people will know lots about. It's called Super Tato, and this is just coming from my own heart. I feel this concept is stronger because of what it's all about, because it ain't just about the book and how the superhero turns from a seed to a superhero. It's about kids learning how to plant their own seeds. And
also the benefits on the body is the character's superpower.
So you're listening to John Costa and Rob Watson on Spotlight on Art. And this week we've been joined by Dean Williams, Dean the Art Wizard, and Lisa J. Edwards as well. And they've been talking to us a little bit about adventures of the garden superheroes and stuff. I mean, Rob, if we were to go back to our youth, childhood, and stuff like that, some of the stuff that's on telly that you can find on YouTube now, you just think, oh my God, how could you get away with that these days? It's interesting to see a brand new creation, because we had Tim Grayson on the other week, who had invented his own game, tactical game, during lockdown for his kids, which was a combination of chess and Risk. And here we've got two creatives using their creativity, but using social media as well, like TikTok and stuff like that. It's a bit of a game changer, isn't it, social media?
Well, the analogy is when you go into a supermarket and everything's made in the same factory and it's all junk food and it's all telling you how wonderful and healthy it is. If you think of our media in a similar way, that most of it is made in a factory and it's junk media and it's telling you what you should think about. And actually, to do your own media, it's like learning to make your own food or grow your own food. So for me, it's like the perfect, it fits. You know, they're not the same, but they fit across that. As well as getting people to think about the food they consume and the food that they can grow, is think about the media they can make as well, whether that's art or creativity as well. It's really essential to a healthy life.
Yeah, it's an interesting point, isn't it? Because I'm thinking about who your natural allies are as well. I mean, it's very easy, isn't it, when you set up a new business and try and be creative like this. I mean, you've got some fantastic sort of merchandise in front of you and ephemera that goes with it. But you tend to think of it as like a linear journey. Whereas actually, who are your natural allies? Who are you finding you're getting some positive feedback from, Lisa? That you're talking to and they're going, oh, that's interesting.
Obviously, it's very early days yet, but I think the education sector would really benefit from this, you know, because we'd like to put add-ons, probably worksheets, comprehension sheets about the story, you know, so it's got lots of different angles to it.
Because in essence, you're having this same conversation with young people every day.
Yes,
Unique learning, yeah. Or you're having conversations with your own family members about these kind of subjects, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we've learned a lot through our research, haven't we, about... Mm. For example, a carrot, all the benefits on the body from a carrot. You know, you think, I need to eat more carrots.
And probably none of it's to do with better eyesight at all, is it? Like, so probably a bit of a myth. So, Dean, who's your natural allies, would you say? I mean, you've been in the sector a long time now, creativity. You've done some workshop here recently with LCB. What kind of feedback were you getting?
Yeah.
Not just from the kids, but maybe adults as well.
Yeah. On our TikTok, Dean the Art Wizard, I've just put a video online and it's from a parent and saying how well he wants this book to, you know, he's trying to encourage us to push the book. We didn't have no bad feedback whatsoever, did we, when we did the workshop. What one of the things I did at that workshop, what we'd really like to include in the book, or it might be on the website, this is going back a long while ago. When I used to go into schools, primary schools, I've been all over the UK doing this. I used to do one rule. So I'd have illustration of the superhero made from fruits and vegetables, or the villain was made from junk foods. And I'd say to the kids, the hero's got to be made out of fruit and veg, or the villain's got to be made out of junk foods. And that's what I did at this workshop, what we've just recently done. And we got everybody involved. So you got anything from a three-year-old all the way up to 70-year-old. Anybody can do
it's
it.
It's like the perfect family learning kind of experience.
Yeah. I've got loads of, you know, I mean, I think back to Tony Hart when he used to do Heartbeat. And I mean, this is just reminiscing what I used to love. And like, they used to do like a gallery. And that's what I'd love to do, a gallery of all the kids, what they've created on the website. Again, we want to do loads and loads of free downloads, or as cheap as possible for people to download with the website. And that's, it only just started on the website, but yeah.
So Lisa, what does success look like with this project for you?
Success is the main thing is getting the message across and inspiring as many people as we can. Obviously we'd like it to be a success as well, because we've put a lot of our own funds into it. We'd like to recoup some of that. And just, you know, spreading the message to eat more healthily, and the benefits on the body mainly, because people just don't know.
Yeah, they take it for granted, yeah. I think. You know, yeah. Tina, my partner, and I were often talking about sort of because of cancer and stuff in across our family now, the benefits of sort of healthy eating and, you know, five a day. Where did five a day come from? You know what I mean? And my dad's generation, you know, five a week, five a month, and that probably was an apple or a pear that you'd scrump off a tree rather than you would actually get, you know. So we're having this whole conversation all the time about healthy eating and food. I mean, is that success for you as well, Dean? Are you coming at it more from the business perspective, making a living from it, doing it full time, or is it more about the messages that come with it, and it's just a good combination?
For me, I think it's a bit of both. Yeah, I this is something I came up with a long, long while ago, and I've redeveloped it to where it is now. And the key thing, what I've spoke to Lisa about, and she agrees that although that we're trying to get this message about eating healthily, it's got to be fun, the book, to really buy into it. And what we have done in the first story and even the second story and so on and so on, we've actually done the research of what this fruit or vegetable does, and it's incorporated into the story, but the child or the parent, it don't really know it's even in there. We've just made it fun at the same time. And the most important for myself and Lisa, this is the bit I will get into, is the educational bit right at the end. It's how to plant the seed, what the seed does to the body. So we've got an illustration of a person, a boy or a girl, and it shows you all the different areas, what it does to the body. Yeah.
I mean, are you looking for people to get in touch with you and say, do you want to come and run a workshop here? And are you at that stage where you're able to react to those kind of opportunities?
I'm regarding workshops, to let people know we're out there, we've got to be out there as much as possible for people to actually understand what we're doing. Because one of the first things I show them is towards the back of the book, because that is the bit what they're going to really learn from. Because obviously it shows the educational side. And obviously, because me and Lisa have had over 40 years worth of educational experience working with students, that's why I think it's so important to have that in there anyway. And we've pushed this to the publishers that this is something what we really want in the books.
He's coming from a position of knowledge and research and stuff. I mean, I'm Rob, I think this is a natural fit, isn't it, really, for something like the Riverside Festival, you know, down in Castle Park, where there's lots of community groups and stuff, and little performances.
Yeah, if it's any kind of an activity, an accessible activity, these things fit pretty much everywhere, you know. And I think
what it's your target audience as well, isn't it?
I mean, forgive me if I put it like this, but you two don't come across as you've got airs and graces. If you don't mind me saying that, because, and I think so much of what happens with these things is they're often delivered from on high, and they're delivered by people who maybe shop at Waitrose. they get, and it's like you kind of need. How do you find that connecting with people? Because it's like, you know, you're not projecting yourself as some kind of a, you're actually quite nervous about saying that you've got some expertise in this area and that you know what you're talking about.
Hang on, Rob. Lisa's just getting her PowerPoint presentation up on her iPad.
She's going to show me a LinkedIn profile in a minute. But is that fair? Because do you find it easier to connect with people?
I think we're very down to earth.
Is that a pun? Down to earth. We're talking about gardens. Very good. I like the way you did that.
Yeah. Our roots run very deep.
She's done it again. Oh, my God. Here we go. Lots of fruit and veg analogies.
We just like to have fun.
It's about being real. Yeah.
We're just the normal, everyday. Well, I don't know about normal, but just down to earth. And, yeah, we're just us.
So in this final section, I just want to kind of wrap up, really. It's interesting that Rob mentioned that about sort of airs and graces and stuff and being real and authentic. And I think it's just coming from my perspective, you know, when we approached what we were doing with these podcasts, we were very keen to make sure that we didn't do a what's on guide or, you know, get caught up in that. It was about finding out what the motivations were behind people's interests in art or heritage. And I think what's come across really is that you're both creative and you both want to share this message, but in a way that people would understand. What does it look like for you in 12 months' time, Dean? Just take us over the finish line with 12 months' time. Where would you like to be?
That's a good question. I'm trying to think on that one.
Private yacht in Monaco, doing live streams of the vegetables. But no, I mean, seriously, it doesn't have to be massive. It's...
Yeah, I mean...
Just that you're still doing it in 12 months.
Well, yeah, I mean, we'll definitely be doing it in 12 months. We're hoping that the funds from the first book will fund the second book, et cetera, and hopefully through the merchandising, that will help us earn a bit of extra cash besides doing our teaching jobs as well.
And this is the thing, you're not sitting there both, this is our new business and we're going for it. It's about something that you're developing as in the background as a side hustle that you're hoping for success. What's the one thing you could do? I'm going to ask you a very personal question there, Dean. What's the one thing that you think you could have done at any point in the past that could have got this to where you are now quicker? Is it confidence? Is it access to social media? Is it just finding someone to share the journey with, like Lisa?
I think I know the answer for definite is because I'm dyslexic, and I'm not blaming it on dyslexia or anything, that I've got absolutely tons of ideas and I can write them down, but actually putting it into some sort of story, that's where I really struggle.
So has it been that gentle nudge from Lisa just going, oh, this is a good idea, you should do something with that? Just having a colleague that can sort of share the journey with you.
Yeah, I mean, it really helps to... Because we're actually working on the second book already at the moment, and that manuscript's nearly all written already. And that one, we're thinking it's going to be called The Crest Crusader. That we've bounced off loads of old ideas. So I've sort of... the ideas person behind it, and Lisa sort of brings it into some sort of story, and then I'm really sort of I buggy a lot. I'll say, oh no, I don't like this.
I can't say that word on radio. Yeah.
You need a classroom that's further away from you during the daytime. So Lisa, what does it look like in a year's time for you? What would you like the project to be doing in a year's time?
It means so much to both of us. And it's so fun to do. We have lots of giggles, lots of laughter. I just
enjoy it.
And I don't want to give up, and I want it to be successful, and we're not going to give up.
Have you tried something similar before?
Never.
No, you mentioned selling art, so I'm saying, was that a bruising experience? And
yeah, there's a lot of people that paint portraits, paint pictures now, and you just get text, I'll buy your art for something called an NFT, something like that, which is so kind of...
I'll tell you what, I think this is great story. I mean, I've known you a long time, Dean, so I'm delighted that you're here and taking the time to come and speak to us. And it's nice to meet you, Lisa, for the first time. But I also think that we need to be looking at your art as well. What can we do about that? So let's have a separate conversation about that, maybe, and where you're at. And and then Dean, we need to find this horse. Where's this seedy horse? We need to get our Inspector Morse on and try and find it. And listen, thanks for taking the time to speak to us. Where can people see you next time? Have you got a workshop coming up? Have you got an event coming up that you're doing? Or should we try and see if we can get you involved in Riverside in June? That'd be quite cool.
Funny enough, I'm just having an operation in a couple of weeks, and so I won't be able to walk for a couple of months, so that's why I can't really do an awful lot. So this is why I'll be working on the second book, so I can get the illustrations while my legs up in the air, get all the illustrations created. So because we spoke to the publishers and we decided to do two books at the same time, knowing this was going to happen. And yeah, so I'll be with my leg up. Yeah,
it's out of action.
Well, listen, I want to say thanks for coming on to the podcast and coming on to Saw Sound. Good luck with your leg in the air. I've always wanted an end of show like that. You know what I mean? And nice to meet you, Lisa. Thank you
very much. Lovely to meet you too.